5, let's look at verse 16 through 18. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, we're going to be looking at walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You know, last week we talked about the previous verses, chapter 5, verse 1 through 15, where Paul exhorted us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We learned about Christian liberty that it's not freedom to sin, but it's freedom from sin. It's freedom from legalistic bondage of the law. It's freedom from the license to sin. It's actually freedom to serve one another by love. And that's what Paul taught us there in that passage. Now, how is that possible? That's what we're going to look at tonight. How is it possible to live in that kind of freedom, to serve one another by love? Well, I believe that Paul answers that in these verses, that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul explains here that, if you'll look in your introduction there in your notes, the Galatians Christians, they were drifting back into a works-based, flesh-driven walk. But Paul calls them to a life of liberty through a faith-based, Spirit-led walk. That's what Galatians has been about. These Galatians, as we learned last week, they started out well. They were running the race well, but then someone came along. These false teachers came along with this false teaching. And so as a result, they're being led back to a works-based, flesh-driven type of walk. But Paul in Galatians, he's calling them to liberty. In Christ, it's a faith-based, Spirit-led walk. You know, from a practical standpoint of the Christian life, nothing is more vital than walking in the Spirit. I mean, we could sum the entire Christian life up in verse 16. Everything about the Christian life, we could reduce it right here and in this verse, walk in the Spirit. You know, if one is walking in the Spirit and dependent upon and under the control of the Holy Spirit, he's not going to be walking according to the flesh. He's going to be walking according to the will of God. And you know, it's very important that we remember that when God saved us, that the Holy Spirit had a vital role in that. I mean, stop and think about it. It was the Holy Spirit that convicted us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It was the Holy Spirit that illumined us to our need of Christ. He illumined our minds to the gospel truth. It was the Holy Spirit that brought us to repentance and faith in Christ. In fact, the Bible talks about when we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. It's by the Spirit that we are born again. We're indwelt by the Spirit. The Scripture teaches that. That our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at that second quote here in your introduction. Just as our salvation was a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, so our spiritual living must be a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. That's a very, very important truth that Paul is teaching in Galatians, because you go back to chapter 3 and verse 3, for example, he said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" I think the answer is obvious, because he says, are you foolish to think that? I mean, to think that you started in the Spirit, that you can finish it out in the flesh? That you can walk in the flesh and be perfected or to be Christ-like. That's foolish for us to think that. You know, when we were saved, we were given a divine presence and divine power to live the Christian life. And so it'd be foolish for us to do like the Galatians, to go back to the flesh-based or works-based, flesh-driven living. It'd be foolish to do that, to think that by our own strength we can live the Christian life, that by our own works that we can please God and become Christ-like. You know, we must live on a spiritual level by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at two things tonight in these three verses. The first is the command to walk in the Spirit. The command to walk in the Spirit. You know, he said there in verse 16, "This I say then." Now remember, this comes after the previous 15 verses. I like what he said in verse 13. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so he's saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, I didn't read verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Isn't that sad that even Christians can bite and devour one another? I mean, with their words, they can tear one another down. They can criticize one another. They can gossip about one another. And that's what he says. If you need to walk in the Spirit. The only way we can, by love, serve one another is to walk in the power of the Spirit. And as I said, that you can take all the Christian life and reduce it right here into this verse: walk in the Spirit. Amen. You know, that's the victory. You know, let me say this: the flesh wants to control us. The flesh wants you to have bad thoughts. The flesh wants you to feel bad. The flesh wants to create anger, hostility, bitterness, jealousy, envy, and strife. The flesh wants to make you doubt God. The flesh wants to take love out of your heart and replace it with hatred. The flesh wants you to do wrong things that will destroy your relationships and bring guilt in your life. The flesh wants to destroy your marriage. The flesh wants to destroy your Christian relationships. The flesh wants to make you useless to God. The flesh wants you desiring what is wrong, what is destructive. You know, the only way we can overcome those desires is by walking in the Spirit. Amen. That's it. I mean, that's what he said. That's the victory right there. That's how you do it. You walk in the Spirit. You cannot offer a human solution for a spiritual problem. You know, today there's all these kind of ways that man comes up with, psychology and all these different human ways to overcome these problems. We can't use a human solution for a spiritual problem. You know, we have the indwelling Spirit in us. And it's one thing to be indwelt by the Spirit, and it's another thing to walk in the Spirit. Just because you're saved and have the indwelling Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're walking in the Spirit. This is a command. He commands us to walk in the Spirit. And I want to say, I think you already realize this, but I want to say that this is a command to Christians. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. This is not a command for unbelievers. It's a command for Christians. You know, later in this chapter, he'll say in verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." To live in the Spirit, you know, basically implies that the Spirit lives in us. and we have life through Him. And so walking in the Spirit, it's different than being indwelt by the Spirit. It means that we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in dependence upon, in fellowship with, or under the control of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You know, if the Spirit lives in us, and to walk in Him, meaning that we're in His sphere. We're walking under His control. And I want to say that this word, or this verb, walk, is a present imperative verb. Imperative meaning a command. And being present tense here in the Greek New Testament, it means it's progressive, continual action. What that means is keep on walking in the Spirit. In other words, and that is a very important thing to point out, because you may think, well, why does that make any difference? It makes a lot of difference. Because I want you to understand, walking in the Spirit is a daily, it's a moment by moment, day by day thing. It's not that today I get my life right with God, I surrender to God, and I start walking in the Spirit today, and then it's all done. No, because I get up tomorrow, I'm going to face the flesh all over again. I'm going to face these conflicts with my flesh again and again and again and again and again and again on a daily, moment by moment by moment by moment basis. And so what does he say? Keep on walking in the Spirit. So as we, as a believer, walk through life, we should continuously depend on the indwelling Holy Spirit for guidance and for power. Continually. You know, the Spirit is in us. He's moving in us. He's leading. We are simply to respond to Him moment by moment, step by step, day by day, walking under His direction. How many times can you go back in your Christian life and you had the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something? Now, how do you know it was the Holy Spirit prompting you? Well, it's in agreement with what the Word of God says. And so the Holy Spirit's prompting you, but you didn't listen. And later there is regret because of that. Or we could even say on the positive side, how many times have you been prompted by the Holy Spirit and you did it? You obeyed to see God's blessing on your obedience to His prompting. Amen. You know, to walk in the Spirit, you know, it implies here that it's a step by step, daily, moment by moment deal. Amen. He didn't say stand in the Spirit. Said walk. And walk is something that you're making progress. You know, there's a guy that I've been following off and on. He's about to finish. He's walked clear across the United States. And he's in Oregon now. I think he may have finished by now. I'm not sure. I hadn't checked in a couple of days, but he was very close. And this guy, I mean, he's probably in his 60s. Maybe early 70s, he started on the East Coast and just walking about 25 miles a day, at least somewhere around there. He's been on this 3,000-mile journey. It's a daily thing. It's progress day by day by day by day. And so the Christian life and Christian growth, it's not something that we can get immediately like we want in our instant generation. We want instant success. We want instant results. We, you know, in the days of instant internet and access and all these different things, we want that in a Christian life. But listen, it's not that at all. It's a step at a time, moment by moment. I have to walk in the Spirit. Now, what does that involve? Number one, it involves daily study in the Word of God so that you know the mind of the Spirit and the will of the Spirit. I think this is important because if we're really going to know the mind and will of the Spirit, we've got to know the Word. You know, the Word's been inspired of the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that moved these men to record these words by inspiration. And so, you know, going back to, remember I preached not too long ago, revival of Holy Spirit living. We talked about Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, that passage has a parallel passage in Colossians 3:16, where he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And you see the results of both of those, they're exactly the same. Singing to yourselves and singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So they're parallel passages. So being filled with the Spirit and letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, they are synonymous. They are the same. You know, when you let the word of Christ fill you to the point that, you know, it says dwell in you richly, where it gets to the point it dominates your thinking, then it's going to dominate your action or your walk. As the Word moves through your heart and mind, and it's by that that the Spirit of God will direct your life. If you don't have any of the Word of God in your life, then how can the Spirit of God direct you? How can He give you wisdom? You know, he uses the Scriptures. As you spend time in the Word of God, spend time in prayer, communing with God, building a relationship with Him, as you feed on the Word, you're in a position where the Spirit of God can move you down the path He wants you to walk. Amen. But one of the key words in that right there is not studying necessarily, but the one before it. Daily. And I want to say that there are times that, even as a pastor, that I struggle with that. So don't feel like you're alone if you miss your daily Bible study. We all struggle with it. The flesh is going to battle against us in this area. Not just the flesh, but the devil. He is going to fight us. He's going to cause things to come into our life to keep us distracted, to keep us busy, to keep us away from the Word of God. He will do that because He knows that if He can keep us away from the Word of God, He can keep us from walking in the Spirit. And if He can keep us from walking in the Spirit, we're going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh, well, as I just said, the flesh is what the flesh wants to do. I mean, the flesh is really, if you want to take all of your problems, you could trace all of your problems back to the flesh. Seriously. All of our problems can go right back to right here, the flesh. And so you can see how important that is. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, remember, keep on walking. This is talking about a continual daily step-by-step without ceasing. He wants us to keep walking, not take any breaks. We're going to have to daily spend time in the Word of God. You know, when we fail in that area, get back the next morning, start at it. Get walking again. Keep on keeping on. The next thing I think is involved is a daily yielding to the Spirit of God. A daily yielding. You know, daily meaning step by step, moment by moment, yielding to the Spirit of God. Again, going back to that word walk, the ideal of the Christian life is it unfolds a step at a time, one step at a time under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's how we're to live. You know, I want to say there's never a time in our lives when we arrive. There will never be a time in this life before Christ comes that you will arrive. There's never going to be a time where you're going to just be permanently spiritual that you don't need to follow this anymore. This is a command. It's present tense. Keep on walking in the Spirit, because, you know, God knows that we're not going to ever be permanently spiritual. God knows that we're not going to eradicate the flesh in this life. God knows that we're not going to come to this point where we're no longer going to sin again. God knows that the flesh is going to remain with us until Jesus comes and we get a new body. Amen. And so it's a daily thing. Moment by moment, walk. And listen, it comes and goes depending on our submission. You know, think about that. And when we don't submit to the Spirit, when we don't walk in the Spirit, what's the only other option? Well, we're walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh. You know, Lord, convict me on the way to church. I'll just be transparent, okay? I was this lady in front of me. And I think it goes back to my years in Ghana, okay? People over there would drive me nuts when they just don't know how to drive. So this lady in front of me, and she has plenty of time to pull out on the first street. And there's a car down. It was on the other side, other lane. It wasn't on the inside lane. So she could make a right turn. I mean, she didn't have to wait, but she waits. And then she had a second opportunity. She waits because another car is coming in that other lane, inside lane. I'm like, ah. Yeah. And my temptation is to yell out, "You idiot, go." And so I get down First Street, and the Lord's saying, "Now what is that you're going to preach on tonight?" I thought, oh, Lord. I started praying right there. I said, "Lord, forgive me. I'm definitely in the flesh right now. So, Lord, I need you to help me right now, because I surely don't want to preach on this in the flesh." I'm reminded all the time that it's a daily, moment-by-moment thing. I can be walking in the Spirit, and the next moment, I could be walking in the flesh. Just like that. Bam. We never overcome sin totally, but we can overcome it as a pattern of life by walking in the Spirit. I think that's key. And let's think about this before we go to the next point. All the difficulties that we have are related to the flesh. I'm talking about all the difficulties in our Christian life. They're related to the flesh. Every wrong action, every wrong word, every wrong idea, every wrong reaction, wrong emotion, every wrong attitude, every wrong word, it's from the flesh. Amen. That's where it comes from. And since all of our problems, all our anxieties and everything in our life that isn't right is caused by the flesh, that means we should endeavor to walk in the Spirit. We should do our best to do it. I mean, that's the key. That's the solution. Now, let's look at this. Another reason why we should walk in the Spirit, the conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. He tells us in verse 17, "Where the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." You know, this verse brings this sobering truth about the conflict, or that the Christian life is, it's a life of constant conflict between two natures in the believer, the flesh and the Spirit. So the Spirit-led life, let me say this, or the Spirit-led life, walking in the Spirit It's difficult. It's difficult. Why? Because there's a constant conflict going on. I'm sure Trapper, if I was to ask him, that being over there in Afghanistan in war, if that was easy, I don't think it was. It's difficult because there's a constant conflict going on. There's constant battle that's going on. I mean, the spirit-led life, it's not easy peasy. The flesh is in a battle against the spirit to dominate your life. That's what's going on. You know, I always say the power of the flesh, even though Jesus, remember he said the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Yes, I understand what you're saying is in time of temptation, yes, the flesh is weak. It is. But looking at it from another standpoint, the flesh is strong. But guess what? The spirit is stronger. The spirit of God is stronger. Is greater. So all we have to do, Paul says, is walk in the spirit. And he says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, an important thing we need to remember about the flesh and the spirit is that God does not ever promise to destroy the flesh, this old carnal nature that we got when we were born, our natural birth, we inherited from Adam this carnal, fleshly nature. This carnal, fleshly nature, the Bible tells us, cannot please God. You were born with it. God, when He saved us, He didn't promise to remove or destroy that. Our spiritual birth does not mean that it eliminates the flesh, this old carnal nature. But what it means is that we are imparted with a new nature. We are given the Holy Spirit. So what we have is we have the spirit and the flesh, two natures in us. You know, before we were saved, there wasn't that conflict. Before you were saved, you sinned and you sinned and sinned. Yeah, you have a conscience. God gives every man a conscience. But over time, we sin against our conscience. We justify our sins. And it gets to the point where it don't bother us. It don't bother us. But when you get saved, there's a conflict. You may still struggle with those same sins, but you hate them. There's difference now. The battle is on. The war is on now. I mean, when you get saved, there's a war that starts. And these two natures live side by side in the believer. And that explains that the conflict that every one of us have the moment we're saved. We have this conflict. And we have this conflict until Jesus comes. We don't ever grow in the Christian life to the point where this conflict ceases. It is always there. And it's our battle that we have to face. And the only way to overcome the flesh, the Bible says, is walk in the Spirit. And for us to try to put a human solution on a spiritual problem is foolish. That's what the Galatians were doing. They were thinking, we're going to try to fix this ourselves. We're going to apply the law. We're going to obey the law, and that's going to help us conquer sin in our life. But what did it do? It didn't. It made it worse. You can't come up with a human solution for a spiritual problem. You know, one good thing I can say tonight is in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn there in verse 23, the Bible does tell us there's going to come a day when we're going to be delivered from this flesh. He says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, in those previous verses, he's talking about the whole creation groans and travails because of sin. The whole creation's waiting, it says, for the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's waiting for that time. It's waiting for Christ to come and restore all things. But he's saying that we also, we that have the fruit of the Spirit, we're also waiting. We're also groaning. And we're waiting for what? The redemption of our bodies. He puts it in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 21. The end of verse 20, he says, "Also, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So the good news is that day's coming. That's when the conflict's going to end, when Jesus comes. And we're with him. Then that conflict will end. But until then, let's remember something. That battle's constant. And Paul tells us how to deal with it. Walk in the Spirit. And he says, "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." But let's look at this last verse before we close, verse 18. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not in the law." You know, Paul comes back to this topic of the law, because these Galatians, that's exactly what they were doing. They were going back to the law. They were bringing themselves back into bondage under the law. And he tells us, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What does he mean here? I think it's very important, because it kind of parallels with verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh." So if you think about it, he's almost like comparing the flesh to the law. And why would he do that? Why would he compare the flesh to the law? Why do you think he would do that? Because the law was something that men, they had to, by their human efforts, if they could keep it, they could control the flesh. If. But the problem is they can't. The Bible says we can't. I mean, you can't be justified by the law. I mean, if you could keep the law perfectly, you'll be justified. But the problem is you can't. And so it's going back to human effort. So flesh is like human effort. The law compares to that flesh. So what he's saying is, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not going to be relying on human effort to please God. You're not going to be relying on your human effort to win this war against the flesh. Because, as I said, you can't take a human solution to meet a spiritual problem. A human solution, any human agenda, any human wisdom, any human approach, methodology, means won't work. Amen. But if you're following the leading of the Spirit, you're not going to be trapped in a system where by human effort, you're trying to attain spiritual victory. And see what we need to realize is that the Holy Spirit, he says, if you be led of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's leading, we are to follow. We're to walk after him. We're to follow him. You know, back in those days, even went back before this to Socrates, when his disciples were being taught, they followed their teacher wherever he went. Same thing, when Jesus came on the scene, his disciples, they followed him wherever they went. That's the idea of being led of the Spirit. He's leading. Are we following? Are we following his leadership? You see, whenever there's self-effort, we're ignoring the Holy Spirit. And it's foolish. Let me conclude with this. Every problem in life comes from what? The flesh. Therefore, every solution comes from whom? The Spirit. So if you have a problem, where do you go for the solution? The Holy Spirit. And not some human solution. I want to read a verse and then we're going to close. In 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We need to remember we're the temple of God, that God indwells us. And it says there that God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. He is walking. He is leading. It's our job to follow. Walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the challenge. Lord, it's a challenge not just for this moment, this evening, but it's a challenge for us every moment of every day of our Christian life. Lord, help us to realize how big these verses really are, how big this truth is, and that is the key to our victory in our Christian life, that we are engaged in a conflict with our flesh, and not just our flesh, but we also know the world, the devil, is our enemy. And Lord, how very desperately we need to walk in the Spirit, not just once a week, but every day, every moment. Lord, help us to keep this truth at the forefront of our mind. Help it to be something to motivate us to daily spend time in the Word so that we can be in a place where the Spirit of God can lead us. Lord, we need to do our part. Lord, help us to do our part, to be faithful, to be disciplined, to spend that daily time with you in the Word. And Lord, that daily we would seek to follow your leadership in our life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.